Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. It's Midday Magazine for Friday, the 24th of June, 2016. I'm Joe Vicnicki with the local news. Joined in the studio today by Mara Lutomsky, the director of the Petersburg Chamber of Commerce, and she's back to talk a little bit more about Petersburg's 4th of July celebration coming up about a week from now. We've been hearing from people throughout the week about what's planned and how you can get involved. Hi, Mara. Welcome back.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So we've heard about some of the events, but there's probably more we could delve into a little bit more detail for what's planned for next weekend. And again, the events start up on the 2nd on Saturday. They run through the 4th on Monday, 4th of July. And I think the end with the fireworks that evening at 11 o'clock. A couple of things that are planned for Saturday the 2nd we could delve into a little bit more deeply. And those include a dedication of a new park down near the library. Is that right?
Yeah, the Centennial Park opening and art and landscaping celebration will be held at the public library from 11 to noon. And I know that they have quite a few things going on. I believe there'll be some refreshments and then, of course, the ribbon cutting for that beautiful park that's been put together. That later that evening at 5 p.m., the Arts Council will reveal they'll have the sculpture ceremony for the Bushman Park sculpture. I believe that now it'll be kind of an official revealing for that.
For Eric Larson's new sculpture, mm-hmm. Everything Starts with a Dream. Okay, great.
Yes, and just to generate a little bit of interest in that rib cook-off, the Mattingly Electric rib cook-off that happens 6 p.m. on July 2nd, our very own representative, Jonathan Christ Tompkins, will be one of the judges because he'll happen to be in town at that time. So he said he loves ribs and he's excited for what people will bring out.
Great. Are you still looking for other judges, or do you have a full roster?
I believe that Heidi has nailed down all of the judges. We now just need everybody to pull out their secret recipes and make some of their best ribs and enter them into the contest.
Okay, and do people have to bring them in advance or just show up at that time with your ribs?
They show up at that time and enter their ribs, yep.
Okay, great. What other events do we need to talk about more?
Well, you guys are going to be hosting the KFSK Kids Carnival.
We are.
You guys do that every year. It'll be at 11:30, and it's in the First Bank parking lot. So that is a really great event where, you know, you kind of get all the kids in one space, and they can just run around and have all of those fun activities for you guys. So, and that's a great fundraiser
for
you.
It is a lot of fun for us, too, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see the kids. So stop on by. That will be going on at First Bank parking lot. What else?
Well, the fireworks, of course, just want to let you know again, 11 p.m., Monday, July 4th. Big thank you to Dave Berg and the Volunteer Fire Department for kind of heading that up every year. It's a pretty spectacular event. I know everybody loves the fireworks. We are still asking for donations in order to have that celebration and continue it from year to year, but any of those can go. Ron Lesh has been heading up those donations, so... Okay. If you feel the urge to donate to those fireworks, you can give him a call.
Great. And raffle tickets are on sale, I know.
Yes. So our new $100 cash raffle, it is new, so it maybe doesn't have as much of interest right now, but I definitely want to encourage everybody to go out and buy a ticket. Big prizes to be given out, $5,000. Your name gets thrown back in every time, so you can win multiple cash prizes.
Okay, great. And schedules, can they be seen? They'll be in the paper, I imagine, and posted around town?
Yep, they are going. We're finalizing the schedule today with the paper so that it gets printed next Thursday. The Parks and Rec has printed off their flyer that you can go and pick up at Parks and Rec. They also have that on their website. We've put it on the Chamber's website, petersburg.org, and it's on both of our Facebook pages. So,
all right, great. And remind people again, there are a couple events you need to pre-register for, including those ones on Sunday that the Lighthouse Church is doing, the car show that's going on all afternoon, and also the talent show, which they have the tryout for coming up next Thursday. So you have to sign up in advance and call in and let them know you want to try out for that Thursday night.
Yes, and of course, events are always so much better when there's lots of participation. So don't be afraid to get out and lip sync, do some karaoke, bring out your random talent.
Okay, great. Yeah. And we'll keep our fingers crossed that we have a nice weekend next weekend. Maybe we'll get the rain out of our system this weekend and have a sunny one next weekend.
Yes, and no matter, we know that Petersburg people can handle the rain. So
definitely.
It'll
right.
be great.
Thanks for coming in, Mara.
Thank you, Joe.
More news coming up in just a moment. Petersburg's Borough Assembly is waiting on giving department heads a small raise until there's more certainty about the state budget. The Assembly also voted to sell off some land and approved additional street paving work. Here's more in this report. Borough Manager Steve Giesbrecht is asking to give a 2% cost of living salary increase to employees who supervise the various borough departments, from police and fire to the harbors, finance, the library, and parks and recreation, among others. Those employees received a 2% raise this past year, but the additional money was not budgeted for the fiscal year that starts up in July. The total amount for that raise would cost the borough around $18,000. Giesbrecht said the borough had the money in its budget from $135,000 in unexpected savings on health insurance premiums for the coming year. Union employees who work for the borough are getting a 2% raise in July under negotiated contracts. However, the department heads are not represented by a union. Assembly members wanted to wait on giving their approval. Cindy Logadakis, attending the meeting by phone Monday, wanted to be clear that the decision was not based on the performance of those employees.
I just want to make sure that folks understand this in no way reflects on the performance of the department heads. I'd love to be able to give them a raise. It's purely a reflection of the state budget at this time and the fact that we are borrowing against the funds to be able to do the municipal building, and it's a more than 1 year expense if we give a raise.
Kurt Wallhuter agreed and thought the issue would come up again.
You guys are probably way underpaid. You probably deserve more than we can afford to pay you, but so I will probably... You know, I would love to see you guys get that, depending on how the budget comes down with the state. So we can reconsider this again for sure.
The legislature has approved a state budget, but it has not yet been signed by Governor Walker. The spending plan includes payments to municipalities like Petersburg that could still be reduced depending on action by the governor. In other business this week, the Assembly approved a resolution giving the okay to auction off three parcels of borough land. That land is at 306 and 919 Sandy Beach Road, along with 705 Ira 2 Street. Money from the sale of the land would help pay for the municipal building and police station remodel, and an auction is planned for Monday, September 19th. Assembly members also voted yes to spend another $81,000 for paving local streets while the company CECON is in town this year. The money is covered by a payment the borough has received from the federal government for street projects. It will mean new asphalt on portions of 12th, Haucan, Excel, and Fram Streets, and that's on top of the $532,000 already approved for street paving this year. CECON is here doing a two-year project on state-owned roads in Petersburg. Given the state budget situation, borough staff expect this could be the last year for a while that a paving company like CECON would be in town. In other news, a Juneau company has applied to be the first marijuana testing business in Alaska's capital. Juneau Empire reports that Southeast Alaska Laboratories, LLC, has applied for a city conditional use permit and a state marijuana establishment license. Glacier Analytics, another potential testing lab, plans to turn in paperwork next week. Testing labs are a key component for pot businesses in Juneau, which is accessible only by boat or aircraft. And under current federal law, transporting marijuana samples by air, water, or mail is prohibited. Lauren Jones, a member of the State Marijuana Control Board, says pot businesses there, such as cultivators, would be put in limbo without local testing, as will marijuana businesses in other communities off the highway system. Rural communities in the state are set to receive more than $16 million in federal grants to go toward their energy projects. The Alaska Public Radio Network reports the U.S. Department of Agriculture made that announcement Wednesday. The grants will fund projects in areas where households pay at least 275% of the national average for their energy. Recipients of the high energy cost grants include towns, tribal organizations, and utilities in various parts of the state. The awards range from $450,000 for the city of Grayling to $3 million for the Alaska Village Electrical Co-op. All projects are aimed at using alternative energy sources or increasing efficiency in an effort to reduce dependence on diesel. After a short hop from Port Townsend to Victoria, British Columbia, 55 teams are on their way to Ketchikan as part of the second race to Alaska. Peninsula Daily News reports that 58 teams left Port Townsend Thursday morning in the qualifying leg of the race. Teams that made it to Victoria before 5 in the evening took off for the remaining 710 miles to Alaska. The race weaves its way up the Inside Passage, a treacherous coastal waterway through a spackling of islands known for dramatic tidal changes and spectacular scenery. The only requirement to enter is that the boats lack motors. First team to arrive in Ketchikan earns a $10,000 cash prize. Second place gets a set of steak knives. Joa Street here in Petersburg could be getting a new business, as one resident there recently received a permit to sell firearms and accessories out of his home office. Abby Collins has more on that story.
Marcus Hom lives at 1309 Joa Street, and at a recent meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission, he received permission to also use his home for an internet-based gun sale business. The commission granted Hom a conditional use permit in a 4-1 vote, with only David Kensinger voting against it in the end. Hom's next-door neighbor Andy Payne spoke up at the meeting, expressing concerns about increased traffic and noise.
I feel when I come home, it should be a home, not a business. We have kids that play up and down on the street. We have a playground at the end of our street. I'm just not looking forward to more traffic for sales of whatever, I mean, guns, what he's selling. So that's my concern, is because it's right on my back deck.
Hom said the business will be primarily based online, dismissing concerns about increased traffic.
The amount of traffic that I'm going to have through there isn't any higher than what would be normal in the neighborhood for regular social activities. So I don't really specialize in-town sales. My big thing is internet sales. And then in-town is just going to be things like, primers or ammunition occasionally.
Payne was not convinced and later reiterated her concern about increased noise from business-related traffic. She also worried about the sale of guns.
And it concerns me to have guns, that many. I don't know what he's going to keep in stock or what, but we have, theft and things going on throughout the town, and guns are something people take seriously. So,
Commissioner Otis Marsh spoke up during the discussion, asking whether Hom plans to keep inventory on site.
Are you going to be stocking firearms at your place?
Yes, that's correct. And I already have my federal firearms license, so I can, I have the appropriate federal permits to sell firearms legally as a business versus, just as a private individual.
He said, though on-site sales of ammunition will be a primary part of his business, he won't be keeping large quantities of ammunition in stock.
There's probably folks here in town that are avid reloaders that have more powder, ammunition, whatever, than I do in my business.
In an email sent to the commission and read at the meeting, Julie Sheldon said she doesn't think Hom's business would be good for the neighborhood, adding the business will be close to a playground and ballpark with many young children. Sheldon also expressed concerns about increased traffic and noted a recent attempt to break into a home on the street. Rexanne Stafford also commented by email, saying she does not object to the business as long as it's discreet. Stafford asked the commission to apply certain conditions to the permit, including prohibiting both signs and advertising for the business around Hom's home and on-street parking. She referred to conditions previously applied to a permit given to Greg Townsend. Townsend also lives on Joa. Hom said parking will not be an issue, as he has enough room in his driveway to eliminate the need for street parking. And in response to a question from Commission Chairman Chris Fry, he said he thinks he will average less than one customer per day.
I'd say a busy week would probably be maybe five people stopping in. Like I said, it's not the business is not based on sales as a retail storefront to local people. There's only 3,000 people in town, so that's not really a good business model. What I'm doing is trying to sell higher-end packages over the internet to people.
During discussion on whether to grant the permit, Commissioner Richard Burke said he's spoken with a neighbor of Hom's who is in favor of his application. He voted for approval.
I know Marcus has two young children, and so I'm not... He's very responsible, so I'm not concerned with him locking up the weapons. I'm fairly confident he will.
Commissioner Harold Madalyn also voted for granting the permit, though he questioned what the commission could do if traffic became an issue. That was later resolved with a decision to review the permit after 1 year.
I grew up in a house full of guns. Never got any holes shot in myself or anything, and hope I never do, I don't think there's anything objectionable about a gun-related business like this.
Otis Marsh voted against approval at first before changing his vote to pass the measure. His concern was with the neighbors who are against the business.
I guess the only reason I'm against this, or sort of against it anyway, is that I've talked to two people that don't want it, that are neighbors. Other than that, I'm for it.
Chris Fry also voted to grant Hom the permit, while David Kensinger voted against it. During discussion, Hom brought up that firearms are a divisive topic, but said the business shouldn't be a concern for public safety.
In my personal opinion, firearms are very similar to like a vehicle, where if they're used irresponsibly, yes, they can cause harm to an individual, but it's actually my discretion as a federal firearms licensee of who I sell to and who I don't sell to. So even if somebody were to pass a background check, I don't have to sell them a firearm.
In granting the permit, the commission added conditions limiting the hours of operation, prohibiting on-street parking, signs advertising the business, and employees working on site. The permit will expire if Hom sells or transfers his property, and it will be reviewed again in 1 year. In Petersburg, I'm Abby Collins.
And it is Friday, the 24th of June, 2016, and time to check in with Dan Berg, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors. He joins us each week on the phone from Bellevue, Washington. Well, Dan, the Brits Brexited. Is the world falling apart?
Well, it's not falling apart, but everyone was certainly negatively surprised. At least the markets were. And I guess the theme is that it's not just Britain that the markets are concerned with. They're concerned with the stability of the EU and some of the arrangements that have been made in the post-World War period, really. So it's a big step back from globalization and integration, and folks are wondering how far it will go and whether or not it might involve other countries. And if that's the case, then there might be, you know, more issues down the road. But that's at least the discussion that I've heard today. The market had really priced in a Remain vote, and yesterday the market was up about 230 points, and there seemed to be a fair amount of complacency, and folks like me were looking at the betting markets, not so much the polls, but the betting markets, which often are quite accurate in their predictions, and they were pricing in an 80% Remain, or close to an 80% likelihood of remaining. And so when the votes came in last night, it was a surprise, and so the markets reversed themselves. I guess long-term, looking at how this might affect the British, there will be a real dampening of the incentives to invest until things become a little bit clearer. And the City of London, which is a very big deal for the economy of Britain, it's a major financial center, about as important as New York, there may be less incentive to locate there. And so until some of those uncertainties are cleared up, I think it's not good. And so what the stock market does is they try to price in future uncertainties today. And so since we're pricing those in, the market was down fairly sharply. On a side note, the U.S. had its own bit of news. We had good housing numbers. Existing home sales, by the way, are at a 9-year high. They were up 1.8% in May at a 5.53 million rate. Unemployment claims were quite low, 259,000. And just as a little side note here in the U.S., the Fair Isaac Credit Reporting Service noted that only 20.7% of U.S. households have what is considered subprime credit. And that is the best reading since 2005. So the U.S. is plugging along as usual, and then we get a surprise from overseas. So for the week, the Dow Jones closed at 17,399. That was just over a 600-point drop today. For the week, though, it wasn't quite so bad. It was about a 280-point drop for the week. The NASDAQ did somewhat worse. That closed at 4,707. That's a 1.9% drop for the week. Today, it dropped 4%. And the S&P closed at 2,037, a 1.6% drop on the week. Today's price change was 3%. So we haven't had a whole lot of volatility since earlier this winter. It came back with a vengeance today. Oil closed lower today. Oil was almost 5% lower today. It closed at $47.65 for the next month's West Texas. Gold, on the other hand, folks were running for the hills for a little bit of safety. Gold gapped up. The price suddenly went up to $1,320 an ounce. That was a 4.6% rise just today. And folks are saying that if the uncertainty continues, gold might have further to go. And as you might expect, as folks are looking for a safe place to put their money, U.S. Treasuries are always that, or almost always that. And so in addition to gold and Japanese yen, 30-year Treasury closed at 2.43%. And the 10-year now is down to 1.57.
Okay. How about individual companies that are making news?
Well, there was some earnings announcements. Adobe Software closed down to $92. Not everything Wall Street was looking for. FedEx had a good operating report, but a fairly big charge for their pensions. Symbol FDX closed down to $150.57, a tough week for FedEx. Tesla also had a very poor week, symbol TSLA. That closed at $192.75. And what really got that going was not Brexit so much. It was Elon Musk's discussion that he might want to buy SolarCity. And a lot of people were pointing out that, well, this is not an arm's-length transaction. His brother is the CEO over at SolarCity. Can't you find someone else to buy? SolarCity, on the other hand, SCTY, closed up to $21.75. And then the very large consulting company that does a lot of IT consulting around the world, symbol ACN, Accenture, closed at $111.45 with a good earnings report. And finally, Alaska Airlines continues its descent. Symbol ALK closed at $56.49.
All right. Well, what's coming up next week?
Well, there are a few reports in the U.S. that we'll be looking at. Is manufacturing stabilizing? There are a few major manufacturing reports, the ISM report. We also get another look at how GDP has done the previous quarter. However, what will be of interest for folks in the market is how things develop over the weekend. There could be some real shakeout from some of the currency movements we saw today. The British pound closed down 8%, and currencies almost never do that. An 8% decline in one day against the U.S. dollar is going to probably shake out some smaller financial firms. So we'll be looking to see how the market opens on Monday for sure. And then in company news, there'll be a few earnings reports. Northwest companies Nike and Micron are announcing, and Carnival Cruise Lines.
Okay. Is it a full week on the financial markets with the July 4th holiday?
It looks like we'll have a full week. However, the following not will be a shorter week.
Gotcha. Okay. We'll talk to you next Friday. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Joe.
That's Dan Berg. He joins us on the phone lines from Wells Fargo in Bellevue, Washington.
Listeners are reminded that the information provided is general in nature and may not apply to their personal investment situation. Individuals should consult with their chosen financial professional before making any decisions.